Well, praise the Lord. It's been good this morning. I've really enjoyed it. I always enjoy coming over here. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis 41. Genesis 41. My wife and I, when I got out of the Army, I went down to Tabernacle to go to Bible college. And we come home on vacation, and we didn't have a home church. I came from a church in Germany, a mission church in Germany, and my home church was Tabernacle. Doc Slayer was my pastor, and so when we came back up into this area on vacation to see our family, we had to have someplace to go to church, and the only independent Baptist church that we could find was all the way over here in Madisonville, and so we drove all the way over here. We brought two kids from the children's home with us. And we were hoping to adopt these little boys, but after having 40 little boys in the children's home, we decided not to adopt any of them. But anyway, we come over here on Easter Sunday and was here Sunday morning. And then Brother R. asked me if I was going to be back that night, and I told him I would. And he asked me to preach that night, and I preached that Easter Sunday night. And brought those boys over, and this church gave us a pounding for the children's home and took the home on and supported us, I guess from now on. Y'all still supporting the home? But they supported us the whole time we were down there, and it was because of just trying to find a good independent Baptist church. So I told Brother R, I said, well, I won't tell everybody this is my home church, but I'm never going to send you any tithe money. So he said that was all right. I've got a lot of members like that. I don't know if y'all do or not, but yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that testimony. You know, I was thinking when he was talking, if it's of God, you can't stop it. If it's not of God, it won't amount to anything. But if it's of God, you can't stop it. And a missionary goes someplace, and if God's in that thing, you can't stop it. And I'm glad for that. Amen. Well, I'm a little bit excited about what the Lord is doing in my life right now. When I got out of high school, I made up my mind when I was a senior in high school, when I finished my last exam, that I would never take another test. It's like, I'm finished with this stuff, and I'm never going to take another one of these test things. And I went in the military, and everything was fine in the military, and until I made a certain rank, and then I had to take tests to get promoted beyond that. And I didn't want to take a test. And I didn't realize that my life was one test after another, one test after another. And then I started taking more courses and getting more degrees. And my wife said one time I got more degrees than a thermometer, but I just kept taking more courses. And every course you got a test you got to take. And I never did get where I liked tests. And I found out that my life has been one test after another test after another test. And I want to preach this afternoon on passing the test of life. Passing the test of life. Genesis 41. I believe one reason why the good hand of God was upon Joseph was the fact that he had passed the test of life. All the different tests that he was faced with, and I thought I'd taken my last test when I finished high school, but I was wrong. I was wrong. Matter of fact, I'm in a test right now, and like Joseph, I want to pass the test of life. Genesis 41, I want to read just a few verses here, beginning in verse number 37. Verse 37, the Bible says, "The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all the servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him and bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here again this year. And Lord, I thank you for the messages this morning and the spirit of the meeting. Lord, I thank you for Brother R and the influence that he's had on my life and my family. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless now. Lord, help me to be an encouragement and a blessing. And Lord, you know my desire of my heart. And Father, I want to be a blessing. I'd like to preach a good message, but more important than that, Lord, would be just to obey you and be a blessing to the folks that are here. So, Father, have your will and way, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like Joseph, I feel like that we face some tests, and I've got four or five tests here that Joseph faced that, I don't know, I have a desire to pass these tests in my life, and some of them I feel like I've maybe passed the test and moved on to the next phase. Some of them, I don't know if I'm ever going to finish this test, but I want to pass them. And the first one is the test of purity. I don't think God can use you or use me if we don't pass the test of purity. And when I was a young man, this was probably a bigger issue than it is now. When you get older, I think there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the lust of the flesh comes in the younger years of my life. And then when I was middle-aged, there was the lust of the eyes. I saw things and wanted them and all that. And now that I've had some success in ministry, I've had some success in my finances, I have grandchildren, I have now great-grandchildren, and so I've seen some success in my personal life, so I started out, the lust of the flesh was probably the strongest drive that I had to fight against, then it became the lust of the eyes, but now I believe it's more the pride of life, and I believe that it kind of follows the ages that we go through, but I see in Genesis 39, Joseph passed the test of purity. In Genesis 39, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, and it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Joseph, I believe, he pursued purity. And I believe the only way that we can pass the test of purity is we have to pursue purity. We have to do everything we can to make sure that we stay pure in our life. And I don't know, maybe I'm just talking to me, I don't know, but I feel like that this is a common issue. It certainly is among the people that I preach to. These soldier boys, we've done more counseling because of impurity in families and homes in the church that I'm in now than I've ever even heard of in my life. And I believe it's part of the trends of the day. I believe that there's a lack of morality in our world, and because of that, it's like things that we used to say was voodoo and things to stay away from and all that kind of stuff is now being accepted in our world, and I believe it's because there's no pursuit of purity anymore. And in order for us to pass the test of life, the first test that I see Joseph had to face here was the test of purity. Not only did he pursue purity, but he also set parameters for purity in his life. One of the things that I try to encourage those boys in our church to do is to put some guards in their life so that they are not tempted to go in the direction of impurity, and put some defenses up, put some walls up so that whenever they hit one of those walls, they'll know to turn and go the other way. And I see that Joseph did this. He set some parameters for purity in his life. My wife and I have done this years ago, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago when we first got on Facebook. It's one of those things where I keep hearing about these guys that get into immorality and all that kind of stuff. So we decided back then that she don't have men that are friends on her Facebook page, and I don't have women friends on mine. And you say, oh, Brother Dave, no, I can't. Why? Because I want to put some parameters in my life to keep me pure. I want to do what I have to do to stay pure. I want to pass that test. And I believe that Joseph made provisions for his purity. He did what he had to do to stay pure. And that's exactly what I plan to do. I plan to do what I got to do to stay pure. So that was the first test that I come across here with Joseph, and that's a test that I've had to deal with. I don't know, maybe you guys never had to deal with that, but I do know this. Dr. Seidler said when he was 81 years old, he said, I don't know about an 82-year-old man, but an 81-year-old man ain't got no business watching the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Doc Seidler said that when he was 81. I figure if he had a problem at 81, I might have a problem at 61. So I'm just going to put some parameters in my life. The second test that I noticed that Joseph had here was the test of pride. The test of pride. And I told you a minute ago that I believe that once you reach a certain age in your life and you start having some successes, that there's some pride that tries to creep in. I've been so tempted this morning to walk around and show everybody a picture of my great-grandbaby. I've been so tempted about that, and I haven't done it. I know I've noticed my wife showing a few of them there, but I told somebody the other day that I said, well, I've got a great-grandbaby now, and they said, well, you're not old enough to have a great-grandbaby. I said, well, that's true. I'm not. I said, but we grew up in Kentucky, Muhlenberg County. I don't know how it is over here in Hopkins County, but in Muhlenberg County, you teach your girls three things. Grow up, get married, and have kids. And sometimes they get those three things out of order. And when they do, it makes you a young grandparent. Everybody understand that? Jane was still in high school when we got married. She was 17, I was 19. My oldest daughter got married when she was 17, and she's her daughter now is 21 years old and has a baby. And so that makes me I was 59 years old when my grandbaby was born. My great-grandbaby was born. And I don't know, there's some pride that comes with that. And you know what? I took this church and I saw the Lord build that thing up, and He moved me to another church that was tiny, and the Lord built that thing up, and He moved me to another little tiny church, and the Lord built it up, and I've seen the Lord do that over and over and over again. And I tell you, I'm pastoring a church now that God has sustained the growth in the church for all these 8 years that I've been there now, and our Christian school is just exploding. We're out of room. We don't have room for anybody. We don't have room on Wednesday night for people. And I'm telling you, I'm attributing all that to God. But I will tell you one thing that I have to fight all the time, and that is pride. I have to fight it all the time. I've reached a level of success in my finances, and I've reached a level of success with my family and my career and all that, now I have a problem with pride, and Joseph had a problem with pride. Joseph, here in Genesis 41, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream and interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh the answer of peace. He said, it's not in me. You know what Joseph was doing? passing the test of pride. Here's what I would have done. That's right, Pharaoh, I can handle that dream. See, most of you guys would have done that too. Oh yeah, yeah, I've been known to interpret a few dreams in my day. Yeah, but that ain't what Joseph did. Joseph said, it's not in me. God will give you the answer to that dream. And I'm going to tell you what happens to me. I don't know if it happens to any of the rest of you. Probably not. But the way most of you are looking at me, like you never had a problem with this pride stuff. But I have a problem with it from time to time. And I'm telling you, what I want to do is take credit for what has happened in my ministry. Yeah. I want to. And y'all pray for me. I can see there's some pious folks out here that never felt like that. But y'all pray for me, because every once in a while, Brother Ark, I want to take credit for what God is doing in our place. Every once in a while, I want to pat myself on the back a little bit and say, yeah, look what I've accomplished here in this place. And look at how I've got past all those bills that I had in our personal finances. And look at how we've got our retirement all set in place now. Look at how I did all that. That's what I want to do, instead of saying, it's not in me. That's what Joseph said. It's not in me. God is the one that's there. God is the one that can interpret your dream. I see David passed the test of pride. I'm praying the Lord will help me pass that test. I'm praying that the Lord will help me in these last years of my ministry. And I don't know how long God's going to give me in ministry, but I'm praying that God will help me not to get prideful in the last years of my ministry. The test of purity, the test of pride. And then I see also in Genesis 41, the test of priorities. In verse 38, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Test of priorities. Even Pharaoh recognized that Joseph had an anointing of God on him. He was the best son. Remember? He was the best son. He was the best shepherd. He was the best slave. I'm talking about Joseph. He was the best at everything. He was the best servant. He was the best manager. He was the best administrator. He was the best at every level that he could possibly be. He was the best he could be. You know why? Because his priorities were right.
Amen.
He set his priorities. No, it's God first, and then all the rest of these things. If God's not first in my life, my priorities are not right, and I'll never be the best pastor I can be. I'll never be the best granddad I can be. I'll never be the best great-granddad. And certainly not the best husband that I can be if I don't have my priorities right. And I want to tell you something. I will lose my church and all my ministry before I lose my family. I will lose it all before I lose my family. I'm not going to sacrifice my family for my church. I'm not going to do it. I can pastor another church. Amen. Y'all ought to say amen to me every once in a while. You'd help me a lot if you would. So I want to make sure I pass the test of priorities. The test of priorities. You know, I really do believe that Joseph passed the test of priorities because he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God took care of all these things. They were all added to him. I really believe that that's the secret to this thing. And you know, after 30-some years of preaching and pastoring churches and stuff, I've come to realize that that's probably the secret to this thing, is keep the priorities right in this. The priority has to be God. It all begins with God. We ought to keep that as a priority in our ministry. I've only got 32 years preaching now because I spent 12 years in the military before I started preaching. I get around some of these guys that have been in the ministry a lot longer than I have, and I get a little jealous sometimes. Man, I wish I had 10 more years. I wish I had 10 more years of pastoring, 10 more years of preaching. But my priority at the time was not that. My priority at that, when Jane and I got married, God wasn't even a priority in my life at all. I was already saved. She wasn't saved. My priority then was the military and getting promoted and all that. That was, I had my priorities out of line. When I got my priorities right, then God started helping me achieve things in my life. The test of purity, the test of pride, the test of priorities. And then I also see number four in Genesis 45, the test of pardon. In Genesis 45, I know you know the story. We'll not read it all, but Joseph demonstrated forgiveness for his brothers who had sought to kill him. They abandoned him. They sold him into slavery, and they told his father that he had been killed by wild animals. And forgiveness is one of the life's most difficult tests that you're going to run into, is the test of forgiveness. I have a hard time forgiving people. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Most of you look like you've already got that priority, that test already passed. But I don't have it passed yet. I have a hard time forgiving people. Right. Every once in a while, something new will come up. I don't know. I've been pastoring for a long time, and people come to my office and they say, "Pastor, we need some counseling." Okay, well, what's going on? They stand across from me and they tell me some kind of thing, and I'm like, my mouth just drops open. I've never heard of anything like this before. It's like Jay Adams didn't cover this in that book. You know, I got competent to counsel and all that. He didn't cover none of this kind of stuff in there. And so I called my preacher friends. "Hey, Brother R., you ever faced this in your ministry?" He said, "Oh, brother, I never even heard of that." So I called two or three preachers, and we never even heard of this kind of stuff. There's some sin going on out there now that's brand new, I guess. I don't know. Solomon said nothing new under the sun, so I guess it was going on, but they had it hidden real good when I started preaching.
Amen.
And now I don't know how to handle these things. I don't know what to do. And I tell you, sometimes I hear about some things and I don't want to forgive people for it. Anybody like that?
Amen.
I'm supposed to love everybody. I have a hard time with that. I have a real hard time loving a guy that has done some of the wicked things that I hear about nowadays. I have a hard time with that. I can't love them. God's going to have to do that through me. Y'all understand that? And maybe you can. I don't know. But I tell you, I have a real hard time with that. Now that I've got my grandkids are about grown and my great-grandkids are starting to come on and stuff, and I hear about some of the wicked, wicked things that people do to children and stuff, and I wonder, how in the world could I possibly forgive them for that? And then I read the story in Genesis 45 of how Joseph forgave his brothers for what they did to him. I don't know. Maybe that's a test that I'm still working on, Brother Benny. I don't know. The test of pardon. I want to have a forgiving spirit. Pastoring the church that I pastor it's been probably the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And I've been pastoring now 30 years. In the last 8 years, I've been pastoring this military church. We have people that leave our church every month, you know. Two or three families a month leave our church. The army moves them out. And we have to go and find new families and bring them in. And in order to get one family to stay, we got to get about 14 to visit, you know. And I don't know, maybe y'all have better success rate than that. I don't know, but we just constantly bring in visitors. They have 10, 12, 15 visitors every week in our church.
Wow.
In order to get one or two to stay. That way we can maintain our attendance, you know. Because if your church ain't maintaining its attendance, there's something wrong with the pastor. That's what I always was taught, yeah. And don't even take into consideration the folks that the army are moving away. Let me tell you something else that happens in my church. It probably don't happen in yours. But some folks don't like the King James Bible. I've found
Amen.
That to be true.
Amen.
And when they find out that's the only thing you use, they don't want to come back to your church. And they come up to me every once in a while and say, "Hey, Brother Dave, I got a suggestion for you about your music in the church. We think you ought to put a big screen up there and put a little bouncy ball, and let's not use the songbooks anymore at all." I said, "Well, y'all going to have to find another place to go, because we're going to keep using our songbooks."
Yes. Amen.
And, well, they don't like that, so they don't come back next week. And I'm not just talking about folks leaving the church because the army moves them. I make a few mad every once in a while, too. I told my church a long time ago, I said, I'll bring, as a pastor, if I'm out doing my job, knocking on doors, inviting people, visiting, I'll probably bring 25, 30 people into the church every year. But I probably run off 25 or 30 a year. So if you don't bring any into the church, we're not going to grow.
Amen.
Yeah, we might stay where we're at. If you want a church to grow, we got to get somebody else bringing folks in. And I'm going to run off probably 80% of the ones you bring in.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that folks wouldn't, I mean, who wouldn't like my preaching? You know? I blame my wife, you know. Maybe they're leaving because of her. I don't know. We've been married 40 years, and every once in a while, somebody don't even like her. It's like, seriously? And I tell you, I have a hard time forgiving people. Maybe you don't. I read where Paul, in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy, the young preacher, said, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me. Demas at one time was a fellow laborer. And now he's forsaken Paul.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, down through the years, I've had a lot of folks forsake me. I just pour my heart into them,
right.
Pour my life into them,
yes.
And then I look up and they're gone.
Right.
Where'd they go? Well, they just left me because they didn't like something. They didn't like the color of Jane's necklace or something. I don't know. They get all... I mean, what was that, Brother Donnie? I don't like peanut butter. Right? Is that what they leave? Yeah. Telling Brother Benny, my grandson preached at a fellowship meeting the other day, And he said, the folks leave for everything. He said he heard about a preacher that said, he was out door knocking and asked a guy to come and visit his church. And he said, I ain't coming to your church. He said, why not? He said, because I don't like peanut butter. And the preacher said, what does that got to do with you coming to church? He said, it ain't got nothing to do with it. But one excuse is as good as another. And Donnie was the one that said that, and he's sitting in the service, and my grandson's preaching, Brother Donnie's playing. Hey, let me tell you something. Folks look for any kind of excuse. And I'm going to tell you what the Demases will do. The Demases will change your heart. You want to stop pouring your heart into people, because you know they're going to forsake you. Then I read on down a couple more verses there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where it says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Let me tell you what he does. Demas will forsake you. Alexander coppersmith wants to fight you. Demas will leave. You can't get Alexander to leave. That guy's going to be there 6 years from now when you're still trying to get rid of him. And he'll still be causing problems in your church. Demas will forsake you, but Alexander Coppersmith will fight you. Demas will change your heart if you're not careful. Alexander Coppersmith will change your spirit. I know a lot of mean-spirited preachers, and they're mean-spirited because they got an Alexander Coppersmith
yes,
in their church.
Yes,
they changed their spirit.
Amen.
They don't love folks like they used to. You know, if you go on down a couple more verses, you'll see that the Lord was faithful. He stayed with us. You know, God's people will stand right there with you.
Right.
They'll stand right there with you. And you know what we do? We get hung up on those that leave us. And we get hung up on those that want to fight us instead of being just true to the ones that are faithful to us. The test of pardon. And then the last thing in chapter 50, Genesis 50, the test of perseverance. You know, Joseph lived faithfully for the Lord until he died at the age of 110 years old. I don't know when I'm going to die. I have no idea. You don't either. You don't know when you're going to die. I was telling, of course, Brother R knows, but I was telling Brother Benny earlier, I was diagnosed with cancer here a few weeks ago, and... I don't know, it scared the devil out of me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my office on Sunday morning thinking about this cancer, you know, the C word. And you know what I've been telling everybody for 30-some years preaching? God's got this thing. You ever heard that, brother? Sure you have. Oh, brother, God's got this. I know He does. I know He does. And that's okay when I tell you. But when it's me, it's hard. It's hard. I don't know when I'm going to die. Maybe next year. I don't know. I may live 20 more years. I don't know. But however long it is, I want to be faithful to the Lord, like Joseph was. 120 years. I've been doing this now for long enough that there are some folks that say, Brother Dave, I'm just glad that you're staying faithful. Let me tell you something. There are so many 20, 30 years ago that were in this thing that aren't. I want people, when they think of Brother Dave Nofsinger, to know, well, he stayed faithful till the end. That was a test that Joseph passed, the test of perseverance. I don't know about you, I like to make A's on my test. Amen? When I was in high school, I tell the kids in our Christian school that the reason why I did so poorly in school is because I highlighted with a black magic marker. But I actually made straight A's in school, and I didn't have to study and all that kind of stuff. My wife, on the other hand, she had to study for everything. And God blessed me with a good memory. I don't know why, but He did. I made all A's in school. But I'm telling you, I'm more concerned about making A's on these tests that I mentioned today than I ever was an algebra test or a science test or one of those tests that I had in school. I want to make straight A's on the test of life. And I'd say you probably do as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the...